Lord, thank you that he's going to deliver the message that you've laid on his heart for your people, Lord God. And we just choose to open our ears today. We choose to open our hearts today to receive your word. We know that we're not going to close our hearts to you, that your word will not return to you void, but it will achieve what you've set out for it to a purpose. So I thank you that your word will separate bone and sinew, and it's going to separate our soul and our spirit. But we will not harden our hearts if we hear your voice today. We will yield to you because you're the potter and we're the clay. And we just thank you for this consecrated time to receive from you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for that introduction. No, that's it's always nice to hear words like that. And yes, I'm very excited to be here. I'm excited to be with you guys. I'm excited about what I think God wants to tell each and every one of you this morning. Because I did sense this week that he had a specific word for us this morning. Which, you know, you can relax because it's encouraging word. I think it's If you stay with me for the next half hour or so, I really trust that it will be something that maybe you've heard it before, but maybe you've just not kind of captured it in that way. Maybe you just haven't grabbed it in that way that God actually wants to minister to you. So, I'm just the guy that's going to be up here talking. It's God's word that's going to change you. It's God's word that's going to impact you. Just while we were worshiping, I felt I had to share a story with you because I think there's a lot of students in the house. How many are students? I think are we kind of around this area? So I commend you that you are actually out of bed and here, because I know how it goes with a student. You know, you are very tired and lots to do, and you know you need your rest. I was there as well. It was just how I got saved, I guess. I was in my third year, and I grew up in a religious environment. We went to church and all of that, but very, very formal. And this is the bit that I just feel for you guys. I kind of jumped between, from one relationship to the other. I very much kind of, had a girlfriend for 2 months or 3 months, and then things didn't work out. And then I had a girlfriend for 2 or 3 months, and things didn't work out. And I guess maybe it was a little bit overwhelming for the girls, because I think I was looking for something in those relationships that, you know, just wasn't there. And it was just God's way of getting me to a place of relationship with Him, because I remember it like yesterday. And it's just so funny this morning that I'm sharing this, because I'm just remembering it like it was like last night. I was lying in the bed and I was just saying to God, you know, if you're really, really out there, and it was just one of those sincere prayers. I just said, you know, just reveal yourself to me. And that was it. That's the only thing that I said. And, you know, we often say a lot of prayers, but this one, I felt, okay, this one made a difference. This one is going to make a difference. This was a different prayer than what I prayed previously, because of just what I felt. I just felt, yo, this is God. I think you heard this one. And it was 2 weeks after that, a friend of mine from school came around. And he said to me, you know what? And he got saved. I didn't really know about it. And he just came to me and said, you know what? God laid in his heart that it's your time now. You have to come with me, you know, to our home group, similar to what we have now. And I went to the home group, and then a week later went to, similar to what the Convergence, we had there was a shofar evening. They had a speaker, and you know, I can't remember what the guy preached about, but you know, at the end of the message, there was an altar call, and I just knew, you know, I had to be in front, and gave a commitment to God. And when I walked out of that building, I just sensed, okay, things are going to be different. And maybe that's the year for someone. I don't know. But what I just wanted to say to you guys is, you know, I've been there with the relationship thing, and it's great and everything. But I know that God wants us first. you want to put it like that. You know, I've been married for 11 years, and it's great. But I had to understand, and that was just my walk, that God had to be my first, and then from there all the other things could follow. So I just, you can have that one for free. And today what I'm talking about is maybe something similar. Partnerships. But before I do that, now with kids, you know, this morning when I got my notes, I see one of the kids was already busy, you know, with some hieroglyphics. So maybe it's some message that God wants to send us. I don't know. Maybe I'll, at the end of the message, be able to see what that means. Or maybe it was just him drawing. I don't know. We'll see. But I want to talk about partnerships. You know, often we can call it relationships as well, but this morning I felt God wanted to talk about partnerships. And all of us here are in some sort of partnership with someone, or you could be at work, you could be a student, because you're kind of in partnership with university, or if you're working, you're in partnership with that business, or if you, even if you have family, you're in a sense in partnership with that other person. Marriage as well. You're in a partnership between two people, and you have a role that you play in that partnership. And it's interesting when we look at these roles, and what I want to touch on is we know these roles. You know, these earthly partnerships that we're in. You know, when we go to work, we understand, okay, we need to work 8 hours today. And, you know, at the end of the month, the company will give me money because, you know, that's the relationship that we've got. That's the partnership that we've got. Or if we're married, you know, I'm the husband, she's the wife, I know what my role is, you know, priest, prophet, provider, that's the role that I need to walk in. So in any relationship that we are in, there needs to be clearly defined roles. And often I find maybe we don't tend to talk about these roles often enough, you know, when we are in these different partnerships. Because it's important to define those roles. It's important to define what my role is and what the other person's role is. A friendship can also be a great example. A friendship can be something that, you know, if that friendship, you know, works, it's a great friendship. But if it doesn't work, you know, then it can be tricky. But in that friendship, you know, if it's one of your best friends, the role that I need to play, you know, okay, now I know my friend likes me to give them a call once or often, or to go around to visit, or, you know, the friend can rely on me. You know, there's a role that I need to play. And the beauty is also, you know, when those relationships, when those partnerships work, it's great. It's great to be in that place. When those relationships, when those marriages, when the friendships, when the work relationship, when those things work, you know, when I bring what I can offer to the table and they bring what they can offer to the table, it's perfect. It's great. You know, life happens. The flip side of that, the other side of the coin is obviously, you know, when things don't work. If I have a role to play, you know, as a friend, but, you know, this other friend of mine is just, oh, you know, and we've all been there, oh, she's just, or he's just so overwhelming, and I've got no space, and oh, things are just not working, you know, it's not great. Or if you're at work, you know, you've been working quite well, but now all of a sudden you may be starting to drop the ball here or there, and your boss is coming to you saying to you, Isyan, you need to step up. You're not performing. You know, all of a sudden that partnership that's there is a bit strained. Is you know, there's a bit of pressure that comes on that partnership, and then it can be difficult. But what I want us to kind of catch here in these, and I want to call it earthly partnerships, you know, marriages, business, work, friendships, even family, is in all of those partnerships, we've got something to offer. You know, when someone becomes a friend of mine, you know, they become a friend of mine or with you because they want to be friends with you. You offer something to the friendship. You know, you're a nice person and you're nice to be around. So we can offer something. The same with a work relationship. You know, the fact that you've got to work at where you work or you're a student where you are, it's because you can offer something. You're a medical student because, you know, you've shown you've got a track record of, you know, you're quite good in certain subjects. So the university said, okay, you know, we can take this person. She's got something to offer. He's got something to offer. And I want you guys to kind of, you know, make a mental note of that, you know, in these earthly relationships that we have, we have a role to play. We've got something to offer. But then if we move on from there, and this is the bit that I really feel for us, you know, as a congregation, you know, as believers, you know, our partnership with Christ. And if I just stop, we just kind of park the bus here in the light of just what I said. You know, this is a very unique partnership that we are in. You know, why do I say it's unique? It's unique. You know, if I think when I was lying in my bed that evening, just saying to God, God, you know, please come and save me, is effectively what I said. You know, I thought about, okay, what did I have to offer? And I realized, you know, all I have is, you know, like the name of the band, you know, okay, it's Tears for Fears, but I had tears and fears was basically what I had to offer, you know, when I got into a relationship with God. That is what I, if I'm really honest, that's what I brought to the table in this partnership. And maybe that strikes a chord with yourself this morning. If we're really honest with ourselves, and just stay with me in terms of, I'm not belittling who we are and the potential that we have and what God can do with us. That's a whole different subject. I'm just talking about, as we step into this partnership, what we brought to the table. If we're honest, if I'm honest, I didn't have much. I had very, very little. In the light of what God brought to the table, I mean, what did God bring? You know, and it's obviously not a trick question. You know, we all know he brought his son. He gave everything. He gave his son Jesus, which is his blood. I know that's the highest price one can give, is his son. So on the side, I've got a moped, I've got a Vespa that I use to go to work and back. So this is where I started to think about what I was gonna preach about. So got an hour to go to work and back. So this was kind of coming through my mind, and it was something that it was as if I realized, yo, this is as if it's we know this, but maybe we just need to be reminded of that again this morning. The fact that, you know, when I entered into this partnership, you know, God gave his everything, and that's why this is such a unique partnership that we're in. Remember, God talks about our relationship with him as a partnership. So there's still two people in that relationship. But if we think, well, who's brought in what? You know, he's the major shareholder, actually. When this partnership starts, he's the one that really invested everything, if we're really honest about it. He gave his blood. He gave everything. the reason also why it's so unique is He wants us in this partnership. Although we can't really offer anything, He wants to have partnership with us. He wants to have covenant. If I say partnership, covenant, relationship, it's kind of the same thing. So even though I just had my tears and my fears, He still wanted this relationship, which is actually mind-blowing if you think about it. He still wants that. He still wants, He wants each and every one of us. In Genesis 15, I don't think I'm going to read everything, but it's a story of Abraham, and in my mind, it's such a perfect example of what we're talking about this morning. God comes to Abraham and He tells him, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield, your very great reward." And then He goes on and he cuts covenant with him. And then He doesn't just cut covenant with him. He doesn't just enter into a partnership with him. He starts to promise him certain things as well. So, and at the end, Abram falls asleep. God goes through the figure of eight, which just kind of resembles the whole message of God enters into a partnership. But the thing is, Abram fell asleep. And that's very significant why he fell asleep. He fell asleep because Abram couldn't actually, in his own capacity, enter into a covenant with God. He wasn't able to because God is God. He had to fall asleep so that God can enter into this covenant with him, kind of on his behalf. And that's me. That's us. We enter into this covenant with God like Abraham. Abraham just brought himself. He was, if you read in Genesis 15, he was there and he fell asleep and that was essentially it. He didn't say to God, "God, you know, I've got 1,000 sheep back around the, you know, around the corner, I can bring that. You know, so we'll take your 1,000 and my 1,000 and then we'll put it together and we'll get this thing to work." Or, you know, "Lord, I've got 100 servants," or you get the point. So this is, it's so unique, the fact that when we enter into, God brings everything to the table because he brings his son, Jesus, to the table. So if you want to go and read Genesis 15, you know, make a little note. But when I found it, you know, that this section, I just thought, you know, this is the perfect example of God entering into a partnership with someone, but that other person couldn't actually do it, and therefore Abram had to fall asleep. So God brings us everything. He brings Jesus into the offering, if you want to call it. But in a partnership, you know, we enter into this partnership. We say yes. We say yes, Lord, I want to know you. And we enter into this partnership. It's important for both parties. You know, if you are in a relationship, if you are in a working relationship, if you are in a marriage, both parties need to know what is expected of them for this partnership to work. So it's important for us now that we are in this partnership to actually know, but what does God expect of me? You know, do we think about that? Do we often just kind of sometimes just, you know, think about it? For a relationship or partnership to work, we need to know. But Lord, what do you expect of me? What do you require of me? A marriage is bliss, you know, when both parties know their roles and actually fulfill those roles. And you have a wonderful you know, life. You life happens. And kind of the second bit of the whole uniqueness of this is, you know, in terms of asking ourselves, okay, Lord, what do you expect of me? Is he just says, I just want you. That's the first thing. Just who you are, just come. And that's it. Unless I've missed a chapter in the Word somewhere. He just says, come. He does not say, so where are you from? Where do you live? Oh, okay. You live over there. No, sorry, no, you don't qualify. Oh, you went to school over there. No, sorry, no, no. You went to school over there. Yeah, no, you can enter. No. There's no rule. There's just you, just as you are. You can come. So that in itself is already, you know, mind boggles, you know, if you think how the world works and the partnerships that are in the world. People want partnership with people that can offer something. This partnership is completely opposite. Just God just says, you just come as you are. And as we continue in this partnership, that door of opportunity, that door of hope, if you want to call it, is always open. And that's also such a beautiful picture, the Father's heart saying, you know, even though in this partnership, even though if you've missed it, if you've maybe looked to the left or looked to the right, i.e. you've sinned, like all of us, are sheep needing a shepherd, just come again, as you are. Don't go here, don't go there, just come. And that is exciting. It's good news. That's why the gospel is good news. It's wonderful. You know, and we know all these things, but as you go into the world and you face these partnerships, these things where, and increasing in this country, is very much what can you bring to the table? That's how life works over here, you know, for those that are out there. It's about, okay, what's your bit that you can bring? What do you have to offer? What's in it for that person on that side of the table? You know, when you come through the door, it's how the world works. And with God, it's just completely the opposite. And we'll get to the other bits about, you know, what God wants to do with us. But I'm just establishing and just really, I guess, driving the point that we just need to bring ourselves. That's because God wants a relationship with us. We don't have to go far in terms of the picture of, you know, the long lost son running to his father again, being lost. You know, what does the father do? He puts up a banquet for him. He has a party. Nothing about, you know, that's God's heart. It's in the Word. You know, it's there. If we have a problem with it, then, you know, we have to go and meditate on that Word and let it change us. But he doesn't ask and say, you know what, you have to pay me back. You know, the money that you squandered, or where were you? What did you do? Oh, no, first go and cleanse yourself because you were with the pigs and you're a Jew. No, sorry, you know, you have to be there for a week and then you can come in. No, he doesn't ask questions where he was, what he did. His son just said, Father, forgive me. And that was enough. So it's such a wonderful picture of just always knowing that door is open for us. That as we step in, as we start in that relationship, as we start in that partnership, we can always just come to God and just say, God, thank you, you know, if I've missed it. But then when we when we enter into this partnership with God, you know, we talk about the expectation of God, what God expects of us. He expects us to grow and to grow in wisdom and understanding. He's got an expectation that, you know, we don't stay where we are in terms of, you know, our understanding of Him. He wants us to, you know, if we read in the Word, you know, in Matthew 28, 16 to 20, the Great Commission, He wants us to go out. He wants us to heal the sick, you know, minister to the brokenhearted. We know all those things. So there is an expectation of God that we walk in these things when we enter into this partnership with Him. And if you, you know, we all know it. If we don't, then you've heard it here. But God has expectation that we walk in these things when we enter into this partnership with Him. It's important for us to know that. I think, and I'll touch on it a little bit later, but you know, God is not one who is just going to sit back and just do things for me. I have a role to play in this partnership. And then, following on from there, you know, we've established kind of God's expectation, what God requires of us. But I want to ask you, have you ever thought about what you expect of yourself in this partnership with God? Have you ever stopped to think, okay, you know, I'm in this partnership with God now, but, you know, do I put too much pressure on myself in this partnership? Do I just think, okay, I need to be everywhere and anywhere for God, and, you know, I'm just always doing things and feeling, okay, God, I need to please You? Or it's important that we stop to think, okay, what's my expectation? What can I expect of God? What can I expect from myself? And I think it is important to understand, okay, but what do I require of myself, you know, in this partnership? And like I said earlier, the thing that I need to require from myself is to have myself always pointed in the right direction. It's just how I interpret it for myself, which just means, you know, God gave me a word way back when I just got saved, where He said, okay, do not look to the left and do not look to the right, which just means, you know, don't be distracted by the world, by this and by that. Just look to Me, which means, you know, if I interpret that for all of us, is just look to Him. And like he says, just follow Me. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. And if you do look to the right, just say, Lord, sorry, thank You. I can look to You again. And God takes us, and he takes us again. And that's what I should really expect of myself. You know, what, especially this gift that God has given me. You know, just to follow after Him. You know, yeah. What does God say when we fall short? He just says, you know, just come to Me, just come to Me. So I wanna now focus on, you know, yeah. I've talked about things that I felt, okay, this is what God is telling this congregation, but the real word that I've felt really for you guys here this morning is in this very unique godly partnership. I just really felt that God was saying, "We can't be passengers. We can't be passengers. We can't be of an expectation that we think, you know, God will just go and just do everything and anything for us." And I'm saying that because I recognize it in my own life as well. I'm not just saying that just for the people out there. I'm saying that to this congregation, I'll say to the Weybridge congregation as well. But I think there's as if there's a notion that could have come into our lives that we just think, okay, you know, I can just sit back and God will go ahead. Yes, His Word says He will fight for us. But if we look at, and I'll look at some examples in the Word now of people that fulfilled God's purposes here on earth, you know, they had to act. They had to do something. So I wanna really put it to you guys that in this partnership, you know, in your relationship with God, in your partnership with God, you need to play a role. You need to play a role. You know, what that role is, I mean, I can't make that decision for you. I can't tell you, you know, and I'm not talking about, okay, you know, you need to be involved downstairs in the kiddies church, or you need to be up here singing. You know, if God is calling you to that, great. But what I'm talking about is obedience. You know, if God has told you in this partnership with Him, He's asking you to go and fulfill something, then just following after Him. Just being obedient, following after Him is really the key that we need to grab today. There's loads of examples in the Word of people that fulfilled God's work on earth that you can argue they weren't passengers. Noah, you know, he was a builder. Moses was a speaker. Jesus, he was a martyr. You can look at David, he was a soldier. It's people that were in partnership with God. God had a plan for them. He told Noah, go and build. Noah built. Noah, I mean, essentially Noah could have just not built. The same goes for David. David was a soldier. God laid on his heart to go to Goliath. David had to take that stone and throw it. No one did it for him. He had to do it. The biggest one of all, you know, Jesus. No one went to the cross on Jesus' behalf. He was just flesh and bone like we were, and He had to fulfill, you know, that very, very difficult challenge that God placed in front of Him, you know, in that partnership that He had. Because Jesus was here on earth, and, you know, He said, I only do what I see my Father do. So obviously He had that partnership with God, with the Father, when He was here on earth. He knew what He had to go and do, and he did it. So we look at these men of God that, you know, Jesus was perfect, but if you look at Noah, Moses, David, all of them, you know, none of those guys, they were people like you and me. We don't have to go into, you know, their character flaws and what they did wrong, but the things that they are remembered for is the things that they did right, the things that God called them to fulfill, and they did it in that partnership with God. So what we see in those people's lives is the expectation that God had for them to fulfill His plans here on earth. And so too for us, not just as a church, but for you and me individually as well. We have this partnership. You know, if you've put up your hand and you've made that commitment to Jesus, you know, He is not intimidated by my hang-ups, my insecurities, my areas in my life that I fall flat on my face. He's really not intimidated by those things. And I want to encourage you with that. You know, God is not intimidated by, you know, the things that we so often feel, you know, hold us back. I want to encourage you that, you know, if God is calling you to fulfill His plans here on earth, to walk in those things, is to take the lead from these men that grasped what it was, you know, to build, to fight, to speak, and the other one was to die. But okay, that was Jesus. He was perfect. But in terms of, if we just say, you know, the builder, the speaker, the soldier, it was things that we can grasp here on earth today. And I really don't think it's anything different to what God calls us to. And if we don't know what it is, you know, that God calls us to specifically fulfill here on earth, then we don't have to look far and wide. You know, as a church, we are entering into, you know, the Great Commission as it stands, and we can just flow with that. But as a testimony, you know, my family and I, we are actually relocating soon out of the UK, and we are moving to Saudi Arabia. You know, it's not the most free country in the world in terms of, you know, as a Christian, you know, you're not allowed to take the Bible in, and, you know, if you read the Bible in public, then, you know, you don't just get a slap on the wrist. So, you know, for me, before all of this happened, I really knew that God was kind of calling me somewhere else, calling our family somewhere else to go and fulfill something. Exactly what we need to go and do there, you know, I know God will reveal that to me. But it's just an example of, there's going to be things in your life, you know. Maybe you know it now, maybe you'll find it out tomorrow, but there will be certain specific things that God will ask you to fulfill here on earth. And my challenge to you today is, you know, will you do that? Will you do that? God won't ask you something that's above your means. God won't ask you to do something that you can't do. Maybe it will feel like that at the time, but I know that he won't ask you something that you can't do. Obviously, with His grace and with His help. So yeah, I don't have a long, you know, message. I've just got this, the fact that I know that God will call you to fulfill His plans and His purposes here on earth, and you need to step into that place to know that you can do it. He's not necessarily going to go and build something for you, speak to someone on your behalf, or, you know, be like David and actually kill that Philistine. He's going to ask you to do it, and he's going to want you to do it, and both of you are going to savor the victory afterwards of you doing it. So I want to ask you to stand this morning, and if we can just close our eyes. Lord God, I just want to thank You for the fact that we can spend time in Your Word, Lord God, in a country where we're allowed to do so, Lord, where it's free to do so. In a country, Lord God, where there's a church on every corner, Lord God, that's named after Your disciples, Lord, of what they've achieved in this world, Lord God, of what they've accomplished in this world, Lord God. And we thank You, Lord God, that Your disciples were not many, Lord. It just speaks, Lord God, that with Your power, with Your grace, with Your ability, Lord God, with what You bring to the table, we can do anything and everything, Lord God, by Your grace. Lord, I pray for minds here, Lord God. I pray for understanding and wisdom. I pray, Lord God, that as people go into this world, Lord God, as there's a fervor, Lord God, and a ability, Lord God, that they recognize in You, I specifically pray for wisdom and understanding, Lord God, to know, Lord God, what You called them to. I pray, Lord God, for specific wisdom and understanding to know, Lord God, just the plans and the purposes that You lay in each and every person's heart, and that they will recognize, Lord, that they need to be the one that takes that step, Lord God. They need to be the one. We need to be the one, Lord God, that actively walk in the plan and the purpose that you have for us. I pray and I just want to release a freedom, Lord God, that people here, Lord God, in this place will ask, that they will seek, that they will knock, Lord God, to know, Lord God, what is on your heart, Lord. Now, Lord God, in early October 2014, Lord. Lord God, in a world, Lord God, where there's a lot happening, Lord, and it's always been like this, Lord, in a world, Lord God, where there's a lot of activity here on earth, Lord, of good and evil, Lord. I pray for your disciples here, Lord God. I pray for your people here to really recognize what is on your heart and to walk in it. And may they always walk in love in everything that they do. So as every eye is closed, I mean, I want to give an opportunity for everyone. If you just want to, in your heart, just want to say to God, Lord, I want to do this. I want to partner with you, but not just on a level just in my mind. I want to actually partner with you just in my heart and actually knowing what's on your heart and not just that, but actually fulfilling that. I'm just going to give you opportunity now to, you know, just talk to God. Just say that to God now. For the next minute or so, I'm just gonna be quiet and then just say that to God if you want to respond to him now. And while every eye is closed, I would really, really love to pray with anyone that wants to respond. If you want to come out for where you're sitting and you feel you want to pray, you want to pray with someone, I would love to pray with you. Also, if there's any people that, I mean, you've never actually stepped into this partnership with God, you actually don't know him, then also I would just, you know, come to me and we can pray. But I would love to pray with anyone that wants to respond, that wants to step out and really, you know, if there's anyone that just really has that burning knowing that, you know, I just want to speak to God now, then I'm going to give that opportunity to do that as well.